When they requested that series of lessons, I didn't really understand why they wanted that and why they felt like they needed it. But after I got there, I did understand. Congregation has a little bit over 100. It's a pretty large congregation for that area. A very sound group, a very working group. But at least 5 or 6, maybe a few more, of the members have come from a background of premillennialism. Some from having listened and studied with the Armstrongs on television, some with Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth. And I realized after getting there that their background was such that they needed that kind of study, and we had an excellent meeting. And I appreciate so much the help that all of you gave. Let me point out something to you that you may not have recognized or may not have made an impression to you. Saturday, as a week ago, was a very important day. May the 14th, 1988. The reason for that is that the nation of Israel, which exists today... Frank, I thought I was preaching. That sounds like you. The nation of Israel that exists today has nothing to do with the Israel of the New Testament any more than any other nation, but it was established, became a nation again, May the 14th, 1948. And many of the predictions were that the end of time would come, the Lord would return within a generation, which is considered 40 years. 40 years was up, Saturdays a week ago, May the 14th, 1988. I went back and reread what Hal Lindsey said about it, and he said, on or about. And I realized that there seems to always be a little bit of a way to leave a gate or an outing. But I believe that last Saturday, Saturdays a week ago, was a key day in that we can now say that 40 years has passed and the Lord has not returned. Of course, we have those who claim that he has returned and taken the Christians up in the 7-year rapture, but if he did, you and I are not there. So one of these days before long, we may talk about some of those things here, but I wanted to whet your interest just a little bit and report on the meeting. At almost every service on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we use a word in our announcements that may not make the impression on us that I think it ought to make. In every bulletin that we publish now, this word appears in the bulletin. I have reference to the word visitation. This morning, when Frank made the announcements, he announced that tonight after services, visitation team 3A, 4, and 4A would be meeting. On the usual schedule, unless there is a reason for postponing one, 1 and 1A meet on the first Sunday night, 2 and 2A the second, 3 and 3A, 4 and 4A, and so on. And the fifth Sunday night is being used for the leaders to meet or any other activity in connection with that. We're talking about this all of the time. But do we really understand the significance of the word and the concept that is associated with it? We're thinking tonight about the subject of visitation as a part of the Lord's work. Most of you are familiar with the fact that the judgment scene is pictured in Matthew 25, where Jesus comes back and all the nations are gathered before him, and he performs the judgment, separates the people as a shepherd would separate the sheep from the goats. And to those on the right hand, he talks about the things that they did in life that were good. If you are reading along with me at verse 35 and 36, he said, "For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." I want you to notice particularly what Jesus says there when he's talking about the being sick. And when he's talking to the goats on the left hand, he says about the same thing in the negative. "I was sick and in prison, and you did not come unto me." And when he is explaining this to those on either side as to when it was done, he said, in as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Now think about those three little words, "ye visited me." We just want to look at those three words tonight. First, let's look at the word visit. What is involved in the idea of a visit? Well, if you look at the context here, he mentions two things particularly, being sick and being in prison. And you can just sort of read between the lines there as well as study the word and see that he's talking about the idea of going to someone with comfort or relief, to give comfort or relief, to visit someone. And that is the basic idea that is involved in this word. The word is used in other places maybe to involve just a bit more. For example, James 1:27 talks about visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And there the word seems to include more than just going to comfort someone, at least to comfort someone verbally. It includes more in that there is to be some relief, maybe financial relief, relieving the needs of the orphans and the widows. In Acts the 7th chapter at verse 23, reference is made in that sermon back to the time of Moses. And the statement is made that when Moses was 40 years of age, he went to visit his people Israel. In Acts the 15th chapter at verse 36, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit with the churches that we established before," with the congregations, in other words, that were established on a previous journey. "Let's go back and visit with them and see how they do." Now, these verses give us a little bit of an insight to what is involved in this word. What does it mean to visit? There is a misconception about the visitation work of the church that needs to be removed, and I'm of the opinion that if we're able to remove this misconception, that it will cause many other people to be involved in this type of work. When we talk about visitation, we are not talking about personal work. Now, sometimes the terms and phrases are used interchangeably by certain congregations in certain ways, certain people. But generally speaking, they're talking about two distinct types of work in the Lord's church, both with the same goal, perhaps, both involved with our lesson this morning of doing some teaching, at least in the sense of showing concern for people and bringing them to Christ. But we need to make a distinction between personal work or personal evangelism and visitation. When I'm talking about personal work, for example, and I use those words to describe a work that we're doing, I have in mind more of a teaching setting or a set of circumstances where there's some kind of teaching of the gospel, to the extent of teaching someone how to become a Christian and trying to bring that person to become a Christian. I know of some of you in the audience tonight who are involved in some studies like this. I was talking with one of you just a few days ago, two or three days ago, about one with whom you're studying, and you made the suggestion that you think it's not far in the future that this person will respond to the invitation of Christ and be baptized into Christ. Now, that's more what we're talking about when we're talking about personal evangelism. And it may very well be before very long we'll talk about that in a lesson. We need to talk about it. And I'm persuaded that more of us could be involved in that than we are, either in showing film strips or open Bible studies or whatever method is used to teach someone the plan of salvation and encourage them to be baptized and to bring them to Jesus in that sense. But that's mainly what we're talking about when we're talking about personal evangelism. That's not what we have in mind when we're talking about visitation. And the reason that I emphasize this point is that down through the years, I've had many people say, "I'd like to be involved, but I just don't feel like I'm capable. I don't feel like I have the ability to go out there. I'm afraid somebody will ask me a question that I can't answer." Well, that's always a possibility. Nobody can ask me a question that I can't answer. Now, a lot of times I have to say, "I don't know." Or we'll look it up, or we'll study it, and we need to learn to have that attitude and realize we don't know all the answers. But where we're talking about being able to answer all the questions or to answer questions that people bring up, we're talking more in the area of personal evangelism. Visitation normally does not include that. And when we try to persuade more of you to be involved in our visitation work, that's not what we're talking about mainly. Some of you can, more of you could, and we'll emphasize that, but that's not the main idea that's before us. What is meant by the idea of visitation? Well, the word itself sort of explains that. It means to go see about, and to show some interest in, and to help with relief if there's something there that needs to be relieved, whether it might be a problem that someone has and they need to talk with someone about it, just to have a friend to talk to, or whether it might involve even some food or something of that nature being prepared. It's going to see about is basically the idea that's involved in visitation. You know, the Bible is not silent on this, not only in talking about it with the use of the word, but giving us some examples. I want to show you some examples of visitation tonight. If you have your Bible, you might turn to Acts the 9th chapter. There are four types of visits that are indicated, at least in this chapter. Types of visits that you and I can make, I believe that most any of us could make. Let's start along about verse 32 of Acts 9. We find Peter passing throughout all quarters here, and he came down to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Another translation says that he was paralytic. Another one says that he was paralyzed. And he had been in bed, or he'd kept his bed, for a period of 8 years. Peter went to see this man. He went to visit this man. Now, I recognize that Peter was able to do some things at that time that you and I cannot do. There were the miracles that could be performed, the actions that could be performed, and we do not do that today, but I want you to see the principle that's involved. Here is a visit with a shut-in. Here's a man who had kept his bed for 8 years. He maybe had not been able to be out of the house at all for a period of 8 years. Now, you think of the number of people that we have that are associated with our congregation that are somewhat like that. I'm sure that names are going through your mind right now. Some of our brothers and sisters that are home tonight who cannot get out, they can't be here at the services today. They'd like to be, but they can't be here. Some of them are unable to walk. Some of them have other problems, something beyond their control. They're here with us in spirit until they reach a point, some of them maybe, that they do not really are not able to face reality as much as they were at one time, but they are shut in. We need to do like Peter did. We need to go see about those folks. These are some of the greatest visits that any of us can make. I find that I always go away feeling better when I've made a visit like that. It makes me appreciate the help that I have, for one thing. Realize that I'm blessed. And many times those who are shut in have such good personalities that they can lift your spirits. Many a time I've gone with the idea of making a visit to help someone, and I leave and they've helped me. Whatever the situation, here is an example of visiting a shut-in. This man had been here for 8 years. Now drop on down just a little bit to verse 36. We find two more types of visits indicated here in one story. There was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died. Now, there's two different times in her life, one leading up to the other. Whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, you know the rest of the story, Peter went and visited with us and raised this woman from the dead, Tabitha or Dorcas. When he got there, there were some of the widows there showing the things that she had made. They were there at her house. The indication is they had visited her while she was sick, and they had also visited when she had died to see about and to take care of the needs that were there. Well, there are examples scattered throughout the entirety of the Bible about visiting the sick, and there's the example of the time that Lazarus died that shows us the way we ought to go see about those who are bereaved and those who've lost loved ones. Not only do we see the principle involved in Jesus going to visit with Mary and Martha, but the Bible says in John 11 that many of the Jews had come by their house to visit with them and to comfort them. They had been concerned about their welfare at the time that they had lost their brother. And so here with this example in Acts 9 and tying these others in, we see the idea of visiting the sick. Sometimes that visit may need to be by telephone. There are times that a person may not be able to receive someone in person, but have a phone by their bed, and you can call and just let them know that you care about them, that you're thinking about them, that you're praying for them. Then when there is a death in the family, most of us that are here tonight that are middle-aged or above know what it is to lose someone who is near and dear, to lose someone in death. Didn't it mean so much to have your friends come by, maybe not even say a word, but just be there to pat you on the shoulder or to take hold of your hand and hold it for a few minutes and just to be there to say, I care, I'm with you. One thing that concerns me greatly in our time, and I think it's a trend of our times, people do not visit the funeral homes like they once did. People do not attend funerals like they once did. I've had the experience lately of conducting funeral services for a member of a congregation maybe about the size of this. And even if it's on a Saturday or a Sunday, not over 10 or 15 people out of an entire congregation have got time to go to that funeral service. We need to stop and think about this. When people are sick, they need encouragement. They may need other types of relief. And some of you ladies particularly do a good job on this. I know of some of you who've taken a dish of food to someone just this past week. And I know of others who have gone to the house and you did not step over dirty clothes and dirty dishes and say, if you need me, call me, and then leave, but you got in there and did something. You went to relieve. You went to see about. And this needs to be done when there is sickness and when there is death in a family. There is another example of a different type earlier in this chapter. If you look at the 26th through the 28th verses, you find a description given of the time that Saul obeyed the gospel and became a new member of the church. And because of his background, he was having difficulty being accepted, but Barnabas went to see about him. Barnabas went to visit with him, and not only that, but then he came back and told others about what he'd found out about Paul, Saul of Tarsus, at that time. Here is an example of someone visiting with a new member, a new Christian. And this is a particular case where there was a specific need. Many times when people obey the gospel, especially adults who may be coming from different backgrounds and they learn the truth and become Christians, we may be too much like the rest of the people here instead of Barnabas and sort of stand back and wait. Barnabas went out there and visited with Saul. And he found out the truth of the matter, and he learned more about Saul to where he could come back, and when questions were raised, he'd say, well, now, I visited with Brother Saul, and I know, here's what he told me, and here's what happened. You see, he was able to go see about him and then come back and do some good about it. Well, now, don't you think most of us can make these types of visits? Someone obeys the gospel and becomes a Christian, just like some of our young people have. Wouldn't it be fine the next few days if you just dropped by and just said, just want you to know I'm thankful that you've become a Christian. Just wanted to come by and let you know I was thinking about you. Somebody's sick, just a few minutes. Let them know we're thinking about them. Somebody's new to the area. Paul was going into Rome in Acts chapter 28, and they came all the way out. Some of them did outside to meet him and to greet him and to visit with him and to welcome him to their area. Somebody moves into Henderson. Don't you think most any of us could go and knock on that person's door and say, we just heard that you've moved to Henderson. We want to welcome you to the town. I go to church at the Henderson Church of Christ and just want to give you a special invitation to come to our services Sunday. We meet at 9 o'clock for Bible study and 10 o'clock for worship. Now, who among us could not do something like that? Here are examples like this in the Bible of a new member and somebody who's new to the area. There is the indication in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 that we need to visit with those who are weak. King James Version says, comfort the feeble-minded. Now, don't all of you rush to visit me this week. Because another version says, help the faint-hearted. It's not talking about the intelligence of a person, but it's talking about the health of his heart, the heart health of a person. We've got a lot of people that are weak members in that sense. I know that today is an unusual day because of the timing of the year relative to school and other things, but you know, when you look at our numbers over here, take that Bible study number 329, we have 527 members. If you add all the children and others in the family, we have close to 700 people represented by our families here at this congregation. 329 in Bible study this morning. We've got a situation where we need to comfort and encourage the faint-hearted. And I don't say that to judge. I say that just to look at the situation as it appears. Now, how long do you think it would take two or three of us to go to all of those who were not here this morning? Long time. But if the group that's assembled inside these walls tonight were to each one go to one this next week and just say, we missed you in Bible study. You know, I'm in a class that's studying such and such, and we're learning a lot in there every Sunday. Why don't you come and go with me next Sunday morning? Could I come by and pick you up if you have room in your car to do that? Maybe it's a family where the parents aren't coming, and they've got some little boys and girls here that need to be in Bible study so badly. You go by and say, listen, would you just let me come by and take your children to Bible study next Sunday morning? That's visitation, folks. That's visitation. That's encouraging the faint-hearted. That's helping. And there is the idea of encouraging. Paul talked about going to see Peter and visiting with him for several days in Galatians 1:18. He said, I went to see him. One version says, I went to visit with him. Some of the greatest visits I've ever had are with fellow gospel preachers. Not only to get together and laugh, and we preachers have a name of being able to tell jokes, and we do. We need a good laugh every once in a while. But just to get together to talk about the work of the church and to encourage one another. That's a great visit. And within the work of a congregation like this, If we could just get back to that idea of going to see one another. We're too busy. And I'm just as guilty as you are. I'm not criticizing you. I'm observing us. We're just too busy. Just to take a few minutes, just to go by. Last night, I took about 15 or 20 minutes and went three different places. One place just greeted the lady at the door. It was a visit where I didn't need to take the time to go in and stay a while, but just went by and said, just want you to know we're thinking about you. Case where there had been some sickness and she's improving. You can take 5 or 10 minutes sometimes at a place. Maybe you're on your way and you see a house over here and you know that's where so-and-so lives. Just stop on your way and go by and knock on the door and say, just want you to know we're thinking about you. Is there anything I can do to help? Going to see one another, encouraging one another. When someone has shown an interest in Christ, a visit can be very helpful. Zacchaeus showed an interest in Jesus, and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down here. I want to go to your house and visit with you today. Now, if you see somebody in Henderson that indicates an interest in the Lord, then catch on to that. That doesn't mean that you necessarily are going to have to sit down and teach him everything. If you don't feel comfortable with that, somebody will help you on that. But at least let him know you are concerned. Tell him about the services of the church. Tell him about something that if he has expressed an interest, then there's something there. There's a little fire there that you can fan, a coal that you can fan into a fire just by helping someone who has shown an interest. Going out and inviting people. Luke 14:23 says, go out into the highways and hedges and the byways and compel them, invite them to come in. That's visitation. Now, that's one of the hardest types of visitation that there is, just to go and do what we sometimes call cold turkey. Just go up the street and knock on the doors. We took a group one time to Johnstown, Pennsylvania. We went from door to door to door, and sometimes we'd go 10 or 15 doors and never get any positive response. And then one person would say, yes, I'd like to study in a Bible study, in a Bible correspondence course. Those successful salesmen tell them that sometimes they make as many as 5 calls to the same person before they ever get a positive response. Just going out to invite people and to bring them in. There ought never to be a person in our area but who has had an invitation to come and worship with us. As many as there are of us scattered throughout Henderson and the outlying districts of this town, we ought to be saying something to people where everybody in this area has at least had an invitation. That's visitation work. That's what's involved in it. We could go on and give other examples, but I think you see the idea. Visiting simply means going to see about, going to show some concern. And I really believe that just about all of us could do that in our organized visitation work, and we need organized and unorganized, and I'll comment a bit more on that in just a moment. But in our organized visitation work, I believe just about any of you could be on one of those teams and make one visit a month to someone who's sick or bereaved or a new member, or go to invite someone to come to our services. I just believe just about everybody could do that. What I mean by organized and unorganized is there are some types of these, sometimes that we'll be able to do visits like this that's not necessarily involved in our organized program, and we should be doing that. You should be looking for opportunities on your own to do these kinds of visits. But it is necessary for there to be some organization to see that we don't overlook anybody. If I just got up here tonight and said, this week we're going to visit shut-ins, 10 of us might go see one and nobody go see this other one over here. That's not good. So in that sense, we need some kind of organization to see that the work is done that needs to be, and then there needs to be that unorganized, now I didn't say disorganized, but unorganized, in that we just go about it as we have opportunity in doing work like this. Now, in addition to that, we need some who maybe specialize just a little bit more, particularly in the next few weeks. As we look toward our meeting in August, the meeting that has the theme of coming home, we evidently have several members of the church in Chester County who are not in worship this morning. They're not in worship tonight. They won't be in worship Wednesday night because they have quit. These are the ones we're interested in. All the congregations in this county are working together toward that idea in that August meeting. And it has been decided by those involved in our particular visitation work here that we want to get as many as want to and feel comfortable doing that type of work to start making that type of visit, maybe one a week instead of one a month. And we're going to incorporate that into our visitation program, but we're going to use those who want to be involved in that and those who feel comfortable in doing that. And I believe several of us can do that. And at the same time, go ahead with others, visiting the sick and the shut-ins and these others. There's some type visits that you like to do more than others. I've talked with a lot of people who said, I just don't like to visit the newcomers to the community. Others said, I like to visit the newcomers because I like to meet new people. A lot depends on your personality and your likes and your dislikes. But there is something for everybody in this visitation program. Ye visited me. Now, we've been talking about the me's for the last few minutes. Because Jesus said, when you visited these, the least of my brethren, you were visiting me. And so when you go see a shut-in and somebody that's sick and a new member, when you're visiting all of these, you're visiting Jesus in that sense. That's who needs to be visited. Who needs to do it? Another little two-letter word, ye. Now, who's ye? Go ye means me. I'm one of those ye's. You're one of them. In fact, all of us are. Fitted together with every joint supplying, Ephesians 4:16, you remember that? Every joint supplying, every joint's one of those ye's. Go ye means go me. And it's involved when we're involved in visitation work. Each one of us, just think about what it would do if we carried out this idea with all of us involved. Just 200 people made one visit a month. Can you imagine how many people in this town would be talking about the church at Henderson in a positive way if 200 of us made one visit in this next month? Well, if we did that, everybody in the community would know that something is being done. Suppose we, maybe 50 of us, could make one visit a week to those of us who are negligent and are not coming and go out and tell them, brother, I miss you. We'd like you to come back. We're concerned about your soul. Can you imagine what good that would do if 50 of us could make that type of visit just once a week, and 200 of us could make another type of visit just once a month? Oh, look at what could be done. There's where the answer is. I appreciate the work that's gone into the programs that we have, and our programs are just that. They're not ends, they're means to an end. They're means to help us do what God has told us to do. Jesus said, ye visited me. That's good. Me is the one that's visited, visit is what is done, and ye is the one that does the visiting. We've talked about who needs to be visited, we've talked about what it means, we've talked about who it means tonight. I think if we can understand those three little words, that will help us to do a better job of living Christianity and enjoying Christianity. You don't know what you're missing. You really don't know what you're missing when you're not involved in what Jesus was talking about when he said, ye visited me. I want to issue a challenge to those of us that are here tonight. I know you love the Lord because you're here tonight. I know you love people because you enjoy being with a group like this tonight. I want to issue a challenge that unless there is something physically beyond our control, that we all determine tonight that we're going to do something in some way to be involved in that little statement, ye visited me. Pick out the type of visit that you like. The one where you can do some good and get involved in it. And as many of you as can, get involved with us in this preparation for this August meeting and going out to help bring back that sheep or that coin or that son of Luke 15 to where there can be joy as there was in each of those three sets of circumstances. That's what we're talking about when we talk about visitation. That's what we're talking about when we ask you to be involved in visitation. That's where it is. That's where the success is. I really believe that. And I'll just guarantee you that if we can meet that challenge that I've just issued, get us involved like we were describing a few minutes ago, that we'll see something in the work of the church here like we've never seen before. Because when Jesus came down to that judgment scene, now here's what I want you to think about. When he came down to that judgment scene and he began to talk about dividing the sheep from the goats, what did he talk about? Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and those in prison. That's what made the difference between the right hand and the left. That's how important it is. And that's why we urge you to get involved, even more involved, in the visitation, going to see about people, to let them know we care, that we're concerned, and to bring them to Christ in any way that we can. That's what it's all about. If you're not in Christ tonight, you need to be. There is a sense in which visitation is somewhat like even preaching from this pulpit. We're trying to help people and persuade people to be in Christ. That's what I'm trying to do tonight. If you're not a Christian, I'd try to persuade you to be one. Be baptized into Christ tonight. young men faithful as a child of his, come back, get things right, get on the Lord's team, and then enthusiastically go to work for him. That's what he wants. That's where it's at. You need to respond to the Lord's invitation. I encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.
This is the time, oh then be wise, be saved, oh tonight, oh why not tonight, oh why not tonight, wilt thou be saved, then why not tonight. Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved, then why not tonight?
Be seated, please. Closing song this evening will be number 134.
As Ben mentioned, visitation teams 4 and 4A and 3A will be meeting tonight once we're dismissed. 3A specifically will be meeting at the home of Bobby Bush. Just a reminder that next Sunday is the time when at noon we will be honoring our graduates in a banquet that will be given by the young adult class in the educational building. To our young people, the youth devotional will be Tuesday night. We'll meet here at the building at 6:30 and we'll go to the home of Charlie Miller for our devotional. There will not be a youth chorus practice tonight, but there will be a meeting of all VBS teachers and assistants and supervisors once we've dismissed, and we'll meet in the educational building there on that south side. High school and junior high are also reminded that Wednesday night in our class time we'll be having another Bible Bowl, so be studying for that. The Lord's Supper has been prepared for those who were not able to take it this morning. As we're singing our closing song, you may pass into the educational building. You'll be waited on there. And those who are attending the VBS meeting, you're reminded to give those people plenty of time to complete that before we go in. Also, several men are needed to go over to the educational building once we've dismissed. We need to move some of those tables back that were moved into the educational building for our dinner this afternoon. Let's stand for our closing song. We'll be led in closing prayer afterwards.
Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill